Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Roland, would you share a Bible verse about today's topic?
Sure. I have a verse for you. Today's topic is living in reality, God's reality, which includes beauty and science and also repentance. If you would, he offers redemption. But there's no salvation without repentance. So we're going to be talking about that. Bible verses? Okay, how about these Bible verses? I've got two of them for you. Here's the first one. It's from Psalm 51, verse 17. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's beautiful. God does not despise a contrite heart. And here's another one. It's from the Epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 6. And James says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So that's what we're going to be talking about, God's reality and living in God's beautiful reality. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Building Confidence in God. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Today, I'm stopping by to talk about what I'm doing lately. And what am I doing lately? I am making the best programs that I possibly can to air mainly on Christian stations, and I have tried to maximize the audience with the resources that I have so that somebody might hear this program, and hearing this program, they might awaken and see. How can I say this? A lot of us get wake-up calls in our life. I'll never forget, if you'll permit me to reminisce a little bit. When I was in college, in my undergrad days, I had a class in American poetry, and the instructor was really good. But I remember he once told about a lady when they had the big Los Angeles earthquake. I don't remember when that was, but they had a big earthquake in Los Angeles, and a lady was in her house, and everything shook, and things were broken, and all of her stuff fell off the shelves, and the china cabinet fell over, and dishes crashed, and things were laying around broken everywhere. And she looked at all of her stuff. She looked at her house, and she said, I'm not living my own life. And she walked away from the house, never came back, started a new life. Well, that earthquake was a wake-up call for her. We've all had wake-up calls. But the problem with wake-up calls is, yeah, they wake you up. They get your attention. But the problem is they're often very painful, involve loss and harm somehow. And the wake-up call, yeah, it does wake you up. It's like sometimes in the old movies, you know, the old Three Stooges comedy movies or something, you would see one of them throw, you know, a bucket of water in somebody else's face. And boy, that was a wake-up call. But most wake-up calls tend to be painful. And it would be nice not to have to suffer some kind of a tragedy in order to wake up. It would be so much better to just wake up to reality. I was listening to a program on Christian radio the other day, and they had a guest there. And the guest was a counselor. And they were talking about getting old and loneliness and getting old and stuff. That was the topic. But anyway, the host of the program asked her, said, what are we talking about here? We want people to have a better life. And how would you define that? She said, well, she said, we have to cope. And it's all about coping and about living in reality. And then she also said, you know, finding fulfillment and helping others and everything. But that phrase, living in reality, it really struck me. Many of us don't really live in reality. We live in a false construct. We live in a world where we have our illusions and delusions and dreams and memories, where we harbor a grudge against someone and feel hard done by, or we live in nostalgia, or we have these dreams of making it big and winning the lottery or getting a lot of money or solving our health issue, and we're always planning for the future, reliving the past and planning for the future. And we have this notion about ourselves and judgments about other people, and often our judgments are wrong, and the notions we have, often they're wrong, and so we don't live in reality.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio. Shedding Shackles has been helping people cope with stress with Principles of Christian Stress Management for over 34 years.
This unreality that we live in is aided by imagination, daydreams, and by emotions. We become emotional and we don't see the truth because we're so emotional. We don't see the truth because we don't want to see the truth. We don't see the truth because other people don't want us to see the truth. See, not only do we not want to see the truth, but other people don't want you to see the truth, or they don't want to talk about it, or they see the truth about you, but they don't talk about it because they don't want to lose your approval, but they do see. So it would be best to live in reality. Now, what is reality? What is reality? Reality is not daydreams, not emotions, not reliving the past, not planning and scheming for the future. Reality is God's reality, the way things really are. So if you see things the way they really are, see, a lot of us don't want to see, we don't want to give up our illusions. We don't want to give up our pride. We want to keep thinking that we're doing the best we can, we're really nice people, and, you know, our decisions are right decisions, and our plans and schemes are right plans and schemes, and we want to be right and not wrong. And we basically want to play God. We want to make some kind of plans and have them come out the way we want them to, and when they don't, we resent other people and we resent God too. And then we blame other people, we blame God, or we turn the blame on ourselves. So wouldn't it be better to live according to God's will and do His will and live in His reality? Now, God's reality, see, then you would see things the way they are. Yeah, you would see the truth about how people use and abuse each other, about how there's not a lot of love in the world, about how there's a lot of cruelty and deception and violence, and it's a dog-eat-dog world. You would see that, but you would see it in the light of God's truth. You would see it in the light, and knowing that the light is, see, knowing that the light is there is a comfort. In other words, God is showing you. It's like, let's say there was a little kid, and she wakes up at night, and she's scared, and she cries, Daddy, and Daddy comes. She says, there's shadows outside and they're scaring me. And Daddy said, let's go take a look. So she would hold Daddy's hand, and together, her and Daddy, with Daddy holding her hand, would go to the window and look, and they would see the shadows and tree branches are moving around and so on and so forth. And suddenly, it's not so scary anymore because Daddy is there. You see what I mean? She's seeing it with Daddy. So seeing the truth about things is not so bad when you know that you're seeing it in the light of truth, when you know that God is there and he's showing you, see, he's showing you so that you can see the way things are and you'll avoid deception and avoid, you know, wrong places to be and wrong timing and wrong things to do. Seeing that they're not so good, you would just avoid them because you see it, see? And then seeing your own wrongs in his light, the light of conscience, what you know in your heart, what you wordlessly know, you see your own wrong. You see you hated your mom. You see you hated your dad. You see you hated your brother because he was bigger than you, and your sister because she was smarter than you. You hated other kids because they had more boyfriends than you. And you resented your husband because you needed something from him and he didn't have it, so you hated him. You resented him. You judged him. You tried to change him. See what I mean? You see that stuff. And it's painful. Now you see that it's wrong. And how do you, when you didn't know that it was wrong before, but now you see that it's wrong in God's light. All right. And seeing it, all right, finally, you're willing to accept reality. You stop trying to avoid the truth and deny the truth. You just see the truth. But you don't mind seeing it because you want to know the truth. See? You want to know the truth, even if it's a little bit painful. And you don't mind because you want to come clean. You know that God is showing you. And why does he show it to you? So you can see your error and be sorry. That's all. Regret what you see about yourself. And it says in the Bible, God does not despise a contrite heart. He likes for you to admit the truth. And if you've done something wrong, you're sorry. And then he forgives you. See? He forgives you. And then it's over. You wipe the tears from your eyes. And you pick yourself up and stand tall and go out in the world. And the sun is shining more brightly and the birds are singing more sweetly. That is God's world. Remember the beautiful hymn, "This is my Father's world"? You've sung it many times, but let's have it one more time because I just want to hear it. I love it. "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad." Oh, it's beautiful. You see, it's Father's world, and it's beautiful what he's made. Now, people do make a mess of things, yeah, so a lot of people are not so good. But don't forget, a lot of people, they don't want to do bad things, but they're confused, they're upset, somebody did something to them, they never forgot, see? And so they're misguided, and they're lost sheep. A lot of people are lost sheep. So forgive them. Don't hate them, in other words. Don't resent them. Just see that they're making a mistake. See that they're in error. That's all. Just see it. But don't resent them for it. See what I mean? Don't judge them for it. Just see it. And all of a sudden, life becomes simpler now. All you have to do is see what there is to see. And then every day from the day that you're recovery begins. Now, this is the good wake-up call. This is the wake-up call that God is implementing. See, you've always tried to make things happen yourself. You tried to make things happen, and it never worked out. Or you messed it up, or people sensed your manipulations, and they rejected you. You see what I mean? So instead, he's making it happen, and he shows you a little something. And the first thing he shows you usually is that you resented somebody. You resented your mom, or you resented your... That's the first thing you see. And yeah, it's painful. But now you just want to come clean. So you see it, and you regret what you see. Then you go out in the world, and you go about your life. As a mom, as a dad, as a student, as a worker, whatever you are. And the next day, you're out doing something, and all of a sudden, something that you're doing suddenly, you remember that you were cruel to your little brother. He asked you to help him, and you treated him like dirt. You see that now, and now you see that that was wrong, and you're sorry. Okay, and then the next day, you see something else. So the first part of your recovery after your wake-up call, God's wake-up call is when you become receptive to your own conscience.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, Christian stress management on the radio for over 35 years. Are you stressing out? Have you tried Roland's free Christian meditation? Check it out today at sheddingshackles.com.
Did you know that Roland has written over 20 books? His latest book, Sleepwalking Christians, is available now at amazon.com. Roland's book, Sleepwalking Christians, is also available as an audiobook. Just visit amazon.com and type Roland Trujillo in the search bar.
The first part of your recovery after your wake-up call, God's wake-up call is when you become receptive to your own conscience. It's always been there, but you denied it, you rejected it, you avoided it, see? And you tried to prove yourself right, and you distracted yourself, and eventually you even drank and smoked and took drugs, all to numb your conscience. But if you would accept reality, God's reality, see his beautiful truth, now you become a friend of truth. I want to read you something. It's from my book, Banishing Doubts, Vanquishing Fears. I love the title. It's a great book. I wrote it a couple of years ago. Banishing Doubts, Vanquishing Fears. And I'm talking about the process of redemption, the process of redemption, the process of how salvation begins, how it begins when your life turns around. That's what it's about. And I think a lot of times I write better than I speak. So let me read you this. It's from Banishing Doubts, Vanquishing Fears. So where does this, I'm talking about truth here. So where does this truth come from? It comes from within. In the light, you know without knowing how you know. You intuit, you realize, you see your errors, and regretting what you see, your hard heart is softened and you are chastened. The truth can do what no one else can do for you and what you can't do for yourself. It can change you for the better. No counselor can do it, no expert, no psychiatrist, no minister, no friend can do it. There is no one on earth and no power on earth that can affect the kind of change you need. Only God can do it. This change only necessitates a willingness to see and admit the truth and be sorry about what you see. That permits God's light to penetrate your being and change you for the better. God's light is this truth with a capital T, which shines on things and makes them clear and which repents you.
How can you raise your problems to God and not worry so much? A Shedding Shackles Minute. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. It's a great question. A Guide to True Peace is a compilation of three Christian writers who found an intimate relationship with God. Not pretend, but the real deal. We all have a problem with worry. Remember, in the Bible it said, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." We have a problem with getting caught up in the things of the world and then forgetting about God. We remember, and then we pray, but then we forget again. Prayer is not a work of the head, but of the heart. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
There is no one on earth and no power on earth that can affect the kind of change you need. Only God can do it. This change only necessitates a willingness to see and admit the truth and be sorry about what you see. That permits God's light to penetrate your being and change you for the better. God's light is this truth with a capital T, which shines on things and makes them clear, and which repents you. Notice that I said repents you. God repents you. You cannot repent yourself. When you are willing to see your wrongs and stop resenting the light, in other words, when you turn to God and stop denying and fighting His admonishments, then you will experience His forgiveness. It begins with this willingness to see the truth and not resist it with resentment. And then, in the light of God's truth, you see your error and are sorry about what you see. Of course, it goes without saying that this truth of which I speak cannot be gleaned from books, the priestcraft, or experts. It cannot be found out in the world. It can only be found within, and it is from God. When you accept this truth, love this truth, yield to this truth, wait upon this truth, and trust this truth, you are thereby yielding to your Creator. You are accepting and wanting His truth in your life, and that means you want Him in your life too. In the early stages, you probably won't even know that it is from God. You may not even, at that point, be sure if there is a God. All you know is that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You see the truth and are sorry about what you see about yourself. You also see that you cannot change yourself, and you also don't want to blame or resent anyone anymore. In short, your conscience has caught up with you, and you don't try to run from it. That's enough. Now just go about your life and see what there is to see. Wait for the truth to dawn. Most of your insights will come at odd moments during the day. See, realize, and feel a bit of embarrassment or pain over what you see about yourself, then sigh and feel the burden lifted from you. One day you will come to know just who is taking the burden away. You may even find long-held guilts suddenly gone and be puzzled by this. For now, just be grateful and move forward boldly to meet your new life. Don't try to change your partner or anyone else. Don't try to make things work out. Just see the need for improvement and wait for the inner light to show you what your error is. There is little more to do than to just sigh a sigh of relief and press onward. In fact, just seeing the error is already enough in many cases. God is like a good parent. When the child has done something wrong, the parent is happy and perfectly satisfied when the child sees his wrong, admits it, and is sorry. Nothing else is needed. All right, so I think I said it pretty well there in my book, Banishing Doubts, Vanquishing Fears.
know you like poetry. I asked you if you had a Bible verse for today's program. So, how about Christian poetry? I know some of your listeners would love to hear something. Do you have a Christian poem you could share with us today?
Yes, today I have been talking about living in God's world. And here's a beautiful little poem I found by Christina Rossetti. And in the poem, she talks about how all of nature tells us something about God and His ways. And here she's talking about the flowers and the grass. And listen, here it is. This is the poem by Christina Rossetti. Consider the lilies of the field. I hope you enjoy it. Flowers preach to us if we will hear. The rose saith in the dewy morn, I am fair, yet all my loveliness is born upon a thorn. The poppy saith amid the corn, let but my scarlet head appear, and I am held in scorn. Yet juice of subtle virtue lies within my cup of curious dyes. The lilies say, behold how we preach without words of purity. The violets whisper from the shade which their own leaves have made. Men scent our fragrance on the air, yet take no heed of humble lessons we would read. But not alone the fairest flowers, the merest grass along the roadside where we pass, lichen and moss and sturdy weed, tell of His love who sends the dew, the rain, and sunshine too, to nourish one small seed. The poem Consider the Lilies of the Field by Christina Rossetti. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.